Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coastal Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. I'm glad to be back. And today we're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers series. We're also going to talk about the life and times of Muhammad Ali, who passed Friday night. And we're going to have Keith Idek on. And I'm hoping to have Dante from Dante's Boxing Nation, one of the best boxing commentators that you never might know about or heard of. He's really making a name for himself. He tells truthful, he does a very truthful boxing commentary on YouTube. And I'm hoping to have him and have Keith Idek from the Bergen Record, one of the best boxing writers in the country, to talk about the life and times of Muhammad Ali. But now I want to get into, before I get into that, I want to get to game two. Really, the seeds of game two were sown in game one when Cleveland had an opportunity. They came back on Golden State. Curry and Thompson were terrible, and they had an opportunity to steal game one, and they let it slip away because Sean Livingston had 20 points, and the rest of the Golden State bench was terrific. Andre Iguodala was terrific. So game two starts, nip and tuck for a while, and then the turnovers happen. LeBron James has 7 turnovers. I'm going to get into him in a minute. Golden State really put their stamp on Cleveland. It was a 7-point game. Golden State got a little sloppy at the end when they had a 15-point lead. I'm thinking, oh, Cleveland has got a chance. And in the third quarter, they put on a passing exhibition, and their defense was terrific. Draymond Green had 28 points. And he was huge in this game with 5 three-pointers impacting. I mean, he imposed his will on the game. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He was terrific. Andre Iguodala was his usual self, playing great defense on LeBron James, really timing LeBron on his drive to the basket, moving his feet terrifically, playing him better than maybe LeBron's ever seen anybody playing other than Kawhi Leonard. And he had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. You know what's crazy? And Bogut was terrific with 5 blocks. It was a complete team effort because Barbosa, who had 10 points game one, has hurt the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had 10 points again yesterday. Preston Dazili, 6 points. Sean Livingston, 7. Ian Clark, 7. And Curry and Thompson were good. They weren't great. Thompson hit a lot of big shots in the third quarter. Curry was solid. He hasn't had his impact in this series yet. He's due for a breakout game, maybe even in Cleveland. But the problem here for this series, Cleveland, especially with Love, got an inadvertent elbow from Harrison Barnes, and he was out for the rest of the second half. That hurt him because they missed the score. But Kyrie Irving was bad. He just looked listless. He looked lost. He was pretty solid in game one, but he was listless yesterday with only 10 points. He had no impact in this game. He didn't make his shot. They took his drive away. It seems like Golden State solved Cleveland these first two games. And I think to talk about, well, Kyrie and Love weren't there, so it was kind of a cheap championship. That has fueled Golden State. They won 73 games because of that. And they couldn't wait to see Cleveland. And they're taking it to the Cavaliers. And they understand LeBron. This is the problem I have with Cleveland. LeBron had a bad game. He had 19 points. You see the stats were okay. But he turned the ball over, and he didn't. He can't. It doesn't look like he trusts his jump shot anymore. Every time he had the ball, he tried to drive. And what Golden State did, they're a smart team. They play good team offense and good team defense. They loaded up on the drive. And they just made him do something different, and he couldn't hit the jump shot. He got some drives to the basket. But you're not just going to drive to the basket against a really good team all game long. You're going to have to hit some jump shots. And because of the fact he never, ever invested in a low-post game, it's hurt him. Because he could use a turnaround jump shot right now, a little hook in the lane against this Golden State defense. He would have kept them in the game. But he doesn't have that. He's a great player that does a lot of other things. To me, he's a better version of Scottie Pippen, the way he defends and passes. And he's not always an alpha dog. Sometimes he's an alpha dog. Sometimes he's not. It's his nature. And he wanted other team, you know, because he's a little older. Because in Miami, he could be that alpha dog. But then when he ever had passive moments, D-Wade came in and took care of that. You don't have that with Kyrie and Kevin Love. Now, I think Cleveland, you know they're going to play a lot better in game three. The only problem is Golden State is playing desperate. They're playing like they're playing for their first NBA championship. They're playing desperate and playing hungry. And Cleveland, they kind of have a bully mentality, if you think about it. They beat up on the teams in the East, and they never had a team that wanted to beat Cleveland. Detroit was happy to be there. Atlanta was just happy to beat Boston and get their second round. And Toronto was just happy to be there. So you're playing all those teams that don't compete. Now you're playing a truth teller. They're going to tell the truth on you, what kind of character you got because of how hard they play and how they play team offense and defense. And Golden State is revealing some of Cleveland's character. And it's coming out that Golden State's a better team right now. And Cleveland is not competing. They didn't compete. They laid down in the second half. And they're probably not used. They're used to beating teams. I didn't like how they rubbed it in on certain teams when they had them up. And they danced and laughed. And that shows you that they had a bully mentality. So when the bully gets punched in the face, he's not ready to make any adjustments because he doesn't have the character to. But I respect LeBron's going to come out like gangbusters in game three. It depends on what his teammates do and how long this series can last. They can make it a really competitive series and try to go for it, or will Golden State get a game and win in game five? That remains to be seen. Now I want to talk about the life and times of Muhammad Ali really quick before we get to Keith Idek. I consider him the greatest heavyweight champ because of the fact that he had the ability, because of his IQ, he had the ability to make adjustments. And in the 60s, he was unbeatable. He beat a great Sonny Liston, who was really great, who demolished people. He knocked a guy out with a jab. And Ali was able to just completely outclass him. Forget about all the controversy about the Phantom Punch. Liston was never going to beat Ali. And I think if Ali would have fought the fighters of the 70s and the 60s during that time when he was the Cleveland Williams era, when he beat up a Cleveland, he would have destroyed Frazier and Norton. I think he would have still beat Foreman. The toughest fight he would have had would have been Larry Holmes because of Larry Holmes' skill set and his ability to jab. Ali would have really had to try to dig down deep to beat Larry Holmes matchup-wise. And then it was during the Vietnam era and the Vietnam War where they had the ridiculous draft where you were forced to fight in the army, a war that should have never been fought, a ridiculous war, an idiotic war. And I hate to say this, but I tell the truth. I have to always tell the truth, even when it makes people cringe and uncomfortable. An idiotic president at the time, Lyndon Baines Johnson, was an idiotic president. And I can't get further into politics right now, but I understand he is a black man. That was great. He signed the Civil Rights Bill. But there were so many other bad things that he did. And this was one of them. And Ali should have never been stripped of his heavyweight title because he never did anything immoral. And he had the courage to stand up for his beliefs. And that cost him 3 years of his prime where he was in his physical and talent-wise prime. And he was slightly past his prime when he fought the Frazier's and the Norton's and Foreman. He beat Frazier. He lost to Frazier the first time. He really taunted Frazier, and a lot of that, and I always loved Ali, but a lot of that was unnecessary. And Frazier had built some bitterness. Beat him again. He beat Frazier the second time. Pretty easy. Really had Frazier knocked out, but the referee saved him in the second round, I believe. And then he loses to Norton, rematches Norton, fights a lot better because he only trained 2 weeks to fight Norton. Comes back harder, beats Norton, gets ready for Foreman. Everybody thinks Foreman's going to destroy him because he's bigger. And he didn't really care about Ali. He was coming right after Ali. So Ali adjusted his style to use the rope-a-dope and lead right that you never throw at any top-notch fighter. But he surprised Foreman by not always sticking him over. He sat on the ropes and used a lead right over and over and over again. Foreman tired himself out, and he pulled off the impossible. It was his biggest and most signature win because it bookmarked two of his great wins between Liston early and Foreman late. And then he avenged the fight against Frazier in a war thriller Manila. He beat Frazier. It had a 2-1 edge over Frazier. So that was very interesting. All right, we have the great Keith Idek on. I was ready to call you the greatest from the Bergen Record. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ron, and I certainly don't qualify as the greatest, especially when we're talking about Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about Ali, his impact in the sport of boxing. What do you think?
Well, obviously, most people view him as the best heavyweight champion of all time. I'd say most boxing historians don't quite consider him the best fighter of all time. That distinction usually goes to Sugar Ray Robinson. But he was certainly one of the top five fighters in the history of the sport. Most people consider him better than Joe Louis because he fought better competition overall than Joe Louis. Joe Louis was, people knock him down a peg because he fought the bum of the month and that type of thing during his career, and the competition that he fought overall just wasn't as strong as Ali. You could argue that Muhammad Ali beat three of the top 10 heavyweights of all time, and George Foreman, Joe Frazier, and Sonny Liston. He beat those three guys and was a huge underdog in his first fight against Sonny Liston and also a huge underdog in his fight against George Foreman and beat both of those guys, knocked both of those guys out, or at least in the first fight with Liston, stopped him by TKO because Liston claimed he had a shoulder injury. So just overall, I think he had an enormous impact on boxing. And, of course, he was the heavyweight champion of the world. When that mattered so much more in American society than it does today, boxing was so much more a part of the American fabric then than it is now. It was one of the two or three most popular sports in this country at the time, and it was on free television. Everyone knew who the heavyweight champion of the world was. Yeah. Worldwide, virtually everyone knew who Muhammad Ali was. The far reaches of the world, people knew who Muhammad Ali was. And even still today, when he's mostly been removed from the public for the better part of the last 30 years since he got sick, everyone still knows who Muhammad Ali is.
That's terrific. I want to break this down, two of his careers. I want to talk about the 60s, like when he beat Liston, he beat Muhlenberger, and he beat Zora Foley and all those guys. I thought in the 60s, in that era, when he fought Cleveland Williams, if he would have fought Frazier and Norton at that time, I think he would have destroyed them. I really do. I think that because he lost a step later, it was a lot more competitive fight. But I think if he would have fought those two fighters in that era when he was in his athletic prime, I don't think they'd have stood up to him because he was almost unbeatable to that point, right near the 66, 67 time. What do you think?
Well, a lot of people think that as well. They think that the 3.5 years that he spent away from boxing, where he was basically banished from boxing, that deteriorated his skills a little bit, and it took him a while to kind of get back to where he was before, and maybe never did really get back to the skill set that he had in the 60s when he was beating the guys you mentioned. I don't know if I'd buy that entirely, only because he was still really in his athletic prime when he fought Joe Frazier the first time. I believe he was 28 years old when they fought the first time, so it wasn't like he was 35 or 38, and he and Frazier were around the same age. I think Joe Frazier was maybe 2 years younger than Ali, so I don't really know if I'd buy that entirely. I could see if there was a huge age discrepancy between the two guys that I might buy that a little more. But I think, he was more dominant in the 60s. I believe that. But also when he came back in the 70s, he had some terrific wins. Again, when he fought George Foreman, people thought George Foreman was going to kill him and almost quite literally kill him. And he knocked out George Foreman with the rope-a-dope, and obviously everyone reveres that fight and everything. But so he really did have a great career in the 70s as well. I think you're right in the sense that he was younger in the 60s, obviously, and, and maybe more in his physical prime. But I still think he had some great, great wins in the 70s when he came back from being banished from boxing. I think he was an elite fighter, you know, right up until around the time, you know, maybe when he fought Leon Spinks. You know, at that point, obviously, his skills were deteriorating, and he was getting into his late 30s at that point. And he lost three of his last four fights, obviously. And of course, Leon Spinks only had seven or eight fights when they fought, and he lost to him the first time. But then he came back and beat Leon Spinks very easily in their rematch. So he was still at a high skill level, I think, at that point as well. So I see your point, Ron, but like I said, I still think he when he came back to boxing in 1971, I think he was still at the peak of his career, and he was an elite fighter then.
Yeah, you know why he was an elite fighter? I don't think he was in as much after the first Frazier fight as the athletic prime, but his brain and his ability to think on his feet in the 70s, I thought made him so great. And the ability to adjust to different fighters, he had to fight Frazier a different way to win as opposed to fighting Foreman a different way. And he had that ability to make those adjustments. And a lot of fighters just fight it one way. But Ali was an adjuster.
Absolutely, Ron. He was a boxing genius for sure. And going into the fight against George Foreman, Angelo Dundee, his trainer, didn't even know that he was going to do what he did with the rope-a-dope. He didn't even know that. He didn't even tell his trainer what he was going to do. And who knows when he even came up with that strategy, but obviously it worked. You know, I was listening to the television, obviously, the whole weekend. We've all been watching on ESPN and listening to the radio and all that stuff, and obviously been writing stories for the paper about it. But I heard an interesting interview with Larry Merchant, who was on the plane from, I believe, from the U.S. to Zaire. He was on the same plane with Ali, heading to the Foreman fight, and Ali told him on the plane ride that he was going to just try to wear Foreman out, and when, you know, got later into the fight, take him into, as they say these days in boxing, take him into the deep waters and drown him. But what he said was he was going to make sure that he tired George Foreman out, and he said if it goes past the seventh round, his parachute won't, which I thought was a fascinating quote, and obviously he knocked George Foreman out in the eighth round, so... I thought that was a very interesting story that Larry told.
Finally, what do you think the impact he had on Tyson, Holmes, Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, and Riddick Bowe and those guys? What do you think the impact was that he had on those fighters?
Well, I think he had an impact virtually on every heavyweight who came after him, either stylistically or trying to sell fights in some way. I think everyone took something from Muhammad Ali because he did everything so well. He was a great showman, but he was a great fighter. He was a great thinker in the ring, but he was a big puncher when he needed to be. He had a great chin. Sometimes he got hit too often. I think people think that sometimes, you know, he wasn't the best defensive fighter. But overall, I think they all took something from him. And I just heard an interview earlier this morning with Larry Holmes on Mike and Mike on ESPN. And Larry Holmes said he wasn't afraid to tell people that he basically – mirrored Ali's style, and he quote unquote stole Ali's style, and he was not afraid to say that because he said if you wanted to be like someone, why wouldn't you want to be like Muhammad Ali? I mean, so why would you be afraid to say that? And of course, Larry's jab was, you know, maybe the best in heavyweight history. Larry Holmes, you know, his jab was amazing. But
his
but he
jab
said that, you know,
was definitely amazing.
It really was.
I
mean,
have to let
you
go.
I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I have to let you go. But listen, I'm going to get you back before the Thurman fight, and we're going to talk a lot more longer and everything. You were terrific today.
All right. Sounds good, Ron. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you. You have a good day. Okay. Right now we have the one and the only, the very best boxing commentator on YouTube, the realest one. That's Dante from Dante's Boxing Nation. How are you doing?
What's going on, man? I appreciate that, man. I really appreciate it. What's going on?
Well, I'm excited because I finally get to hear you in person. I've been constantly following the YouTube videos and how real you are and how many times I'd sit there and I'm like, that's correct. That's correct. And I'm like, I got to get this guy. And I apologize for stalking you, basically, when I sent you the email. I said I got to losing my self-respect, but you're that good, and I need it. Right now, I need your commentary on your opinion of Muhammad Ali, his life and times, his legacy.
Well, first of all, once again, man, I appreciate the praise. And, you know, the whole thing is, this is the whole reason why we do this, is to spread the word. You know, we want more people like myself to basically hear the message. And if it makes sense, you know, then you spread the word and you start to tell the truth and get people to understand that. But as you already know, you know, I just dropped a video talking about Muhammad Ali. You know, the whole thing is Muhammad Ali obviously is one of the biggest icons, you know, in the world. You know, he's one of the biggest figures in the world. And even though people already know that, that's obvious, I don't think people realize how big he was. Because, for example, when you look at Bruce Lee, and I talked about this a long time ago, you know, he's a lot of people's idol. You know, a lot of people idolize Bruce Lee. When I was a kid, I idolized
Me
him.
Too.
But when I used to, but this is how big, you know, Ali is in contrast to Bruce Lee. When I used to watch those Bruce Lee movies, you know, as a kid, I would see him bouncing around and floating around like a butterfly. And I used to be like, man, that is so cool. That is so impressive. But as a kid, I didn't know that his idol or one of his idols was Muhammad Ali. You know what I mean? And
wow.
I found that out. Yeah, I found out that that was one of his idols. And in fact, you know, he incorporated boxing into his karate style, which we now know is Jeet Kune Do. And really, that was a mixture of boxing and karate. You know what I mean? So he, and matter of fact, you can go further than boxing and karate. You could say it was a mixture of Muhammad Ali and karate. So, you know, so all that, him moving around, floating and all that kind of stuff, he got that from the man Muhammad Ali. So, you know, if Muhammad Ali was Bruce Lee's idol, that just lets you know how big Muhammad Ali was. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean,
yes. And I'm going to tell you something. I thought he was practically unbeatable in the 60s. The 70s, he fought with guile more. But in the 60s, you saw his athletic talent and his brain. And I said, and I just, in my writer I had on, a great writer, disagreed with me. I thought that he would have destroyed Frazier and Norton in the 60s in his athletic prime. And I thought that it was more competitive in the 70s when he lost a step after that ridiculous time that held, he was in exile. What do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. His foot movement was second to none. And, I mean, we've seen boxers take 2-3 years off and it affects them. I mean, it's the same thing with Mike Tyson. You know, I think he would have been a lot better if he didn't have that layoff. But, yeah, you know, Muhammad Ali, his defense, you know, in contrast to fighters, modern day slick fighters today, like, for example, like a Floyd Mayweather, you know, their defense is more, you know, body, waist movement and head movement. Now, with Muhammad Ali, his defense was more foot movement. He moved his head, you know, he leaned back a lot, but he didn't really use, like, you know, an enormous amount of waist movement. There was more agility and foot movement. So, yeah, so if he had that type of foot movement before the layoff, I don't think Frazier would have really had a chance. You know, so, and on top of that, I mean, what was so impressive about Muhammad Ali is the fact that you had a heavyweight who basically had the reflexes, the agility, the speed of a welterweight. But he had the power of a heavyweight. So yeah, I don't really think anybody would have beat him, you know, without him taking that layoff. That was a major setback. But that just once again shows you how good he was, because even, you know, with him not being 100%, he was still able to basically dominate the heavyweight division, because he still beat Frazier 2 out of 3.
He definitely beat Frazier 2 out of 3. I'm telling you, the biggest fight to him, I think, and the one that really cemented his legacy after he had lost to Frazier and Norton and then avenged the Norton one and avenged the Frazier one, was the Foreman one, because people don't understand how scary George Foreman was, blowing away Norton, bouncing Frazier off the canvas, and nobody gave Ali a shot. And Ali had to readjust his style and use the rope-a-dope and lead rights, which Foreman never thought about anybody throwing lead rights at him, to have the nerve to. And he had the courage in that fight. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, when you think about the fact that people in Muhammad Ali's own corner didn't believe he had a chance. You know, I mean, that's like a Hollywood script right there. The fact that you're going into the ring, you're not just an underdog. I mean, nobody believes in you. Nobody believes in you. And he went in there, and he still won the fight against all odds. And you know, I mean, that's the whole thing, man. A lot of fighters today, you know, they don't have to deal with that type of adversity. And, you know, I'm not gonna drop names, but, you know, recently there's been a lot of fighters that go in there and they're already, like, you know, an 8-1 favorite. For you to go in the ring and you to be dealing with those type of odds where you are huge underdog and nobody believes you have a chance to win, and you go in there and you dominate the most feared, best heavyweight in the division, once again, while you're much older. And that's another thing that's difficult to do. That's how you can tell that a fighter is great, too, because you go through different stages. Like, you know, first you're young, and you have to beat the guys that's undefeated and young like you, you know, to be a contender. Then there's that next stage where you have to fight the guy who has way more experience than you. Then you fight a champion that has more experience than you. Then the hardest thing to do is be much older and be fending off the young lions. And when you could, you know, beat all those levels of fighters, that truly is what makes you great, and that's what we've seen with Muhammad Ali.
That definitely did. Now, one of the greatest fighters of all time, arguably, Floyd Mayweather. What do you think Ali's influence had on Mayweather fighting, the way Ali fought? What do you think? You think he had a big impact on the guy in this era?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, he had an impact. Like I said, if he had an impact on Bruce Lee, you know, I believe he had an impact on almost every fighter, you know, especially Floyd Mayweather. And you know, people hate, you know, when I draw the comparison, you know, and the parallels between the two. But like I tell anyone, regardless, because see, you gotta remove your personal feelings from the equation. When, you know, when you're talking about this, if we're just talking about straight boxing.
I hate to interrupt you, but let me tell you something. We're going to do an entire whole show on what's really going on in boxing. I hate to have such a short time with you, but me and you really going to have a real talk, because there's a lot of things I agree with you about in your videos, and my audience needs to know real boxing. Now finally, okay. Where do you rank Ali before I let you go?
Man, that's a tough one. And you put me on the spot with that one right there, because, you know, ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, and you mean overall, obviously, because I know sometimes people talk about as a heavyweight, you know.
No, overall.
It's hard to just give him just one specific spot. I would really have to sit down and really look at, you know, a whole bunch of other fighters. I would say he's somewhere in the top five.
I got him somewhere in the top five too. Listen, where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Long Beach, California, man.
Long Beach, California. We're looking to broadcast in Burbank, California. So we're gonna cross paths. Do you ever come out to the city to cover a fight?
All the time,
New York,
man.
City?
All the time.
Are you doing Thurman? Because I'm doing Thurman and Porter.
No, I'm not doing Thurman versus Porter, man.
Okay, when you come out here, you're
going to
come in. I have a CFC Radio 620 AM. We have a studio. When you come out here, my audience needs to see a face with your voice, and you're going to be my guest. Is that good?
Hey, no doubt, man. No doubt. I would love it, man. And
thanks
having
a lot,
me on the show.
Dante. I love
All right,
you, man.
Well, you
You're
have
the
a
man.
One. Have a good show. I appreciate
you
it, bro.
Too. Okay. That was Dante from Dante's Nation. And much respect to Joe Frazier, too. He was a great rival to Muhammad Ali and Norton and Foreman. So I want to give them love, too.